meeting the House Ways and Means Committee to order the local consent at 11:32. And then on Thursday, April 8th, 2021, members present by Representatives Strachey, Story, Fox, and myself for respond rules. The whole family is presented here shortly. We did work with our business before we began our meeting. They sent a few cell phones and some of their office trying to get them to use their adult device downtown. So this is being remotely from those records and so we are doing the end right now. We are from the digital outlet here in the room. Thanks for being with us today. We asked for Martha Pinker from the Triumph Accident Future presentation in Story on Tuesday. On the conclusion of that presentation, we're going to have Dan Robinson, a little partner of labor, who was our consumer in the room. Dan will help the community understand and start their population change and how we can be moving to the state difficult position. So members will have an opportunity to ask questions as we go over the place for the questions of how we will adjust to the use of mine. I'll try to answer the phone number and put down my email button if you have a question. All right, with that, Mr. Pinker. On slide 10, it looks like we've got a little bit more time, but we still basically have a pretty significant structural gap in 1.3 billion FY23, for example, which is massive. Are there any other questions or comments on this slide? All right, let's
see. So the next one, I don't know, this one reflects the governor's proposal to add the supplemental funding agreement in FY21. So that's an additional 1.2 billion to have the reflection of one dividend tax extra draw and also 50-50. So the result of that is slightly higher deficits because that 1.2 billion is no longer in the ERA does despite really expand the year-to-year deficit, and that also causes our GDP to run out faster. We have to really focus on that.
Right. Can you get a better guidance on that too? There are some things alongside to the previous version. We can go to a little bit in FY30, but you now have to balance the budget that year, and this version is somewhere to make improvement.
This is kind of a rosy picture, isn't it? It expects constant 6.75% returns. And I assume it's not realistically the function. But if we can't keep going, this is generally.
Especially if the loans are drawing that is available to the fund corporation, we can't continue their sort of relatively risky portfolio to bring their returns and turn it out to turn it to something a little create more cash available to make these larger draws. So it's definitely a rosier picture. But again, this is assuming the legislature and the other to not have a fiscal problem. So realistically there would be some sort of action that would assume but this is showing the size of the action that would be needed.
Yeah, I was going to just kind of finish up what I was about to ask now, which was that, well, the 50-50 split does buy us a little bit of time. It still doesn't matter for our action. If we want to end up in that doomsday scenario where we have all of our available funds and revenue sources, so we either have to address spending or continue to address the permanent danger in the 50-50 split or address the revenues associated. Would you want to do that, David?
I'm sure we're probably in the absence. If we're at this good level, we'll need to be more spending reductions or revenue in order to prevent the area from managing.
This is a representative of EC the other day that unless we make some other changes, we still have an obligation as well to pay back the contribution of the reserve, which is pretty low right now. So.
I think I'm just making sure I'm on the same page. Your grants on page 9 are actually, they're the same. I think they're probably the same as far as the little part of the ribbon. But it's the first part of they are the same, the consumptions are the same, and it is the IRS assumed revenue, but the designated revenue. Is that what I'm thinking?
There's a version of RCS. Yes, this is the spring revenue forecast for the next of the unrestricted term of revenue over the next reading. So that fascinates in all of the scenarios.
Just to clarify that, I think maybe just after you say what I thought you were asking, Representative Braxton, how is that in OMB sector fiscal plan, the identified unspecified revenues needed to balance the budget?
You were asking, is that included in this? Yes, the difference would be you could assume growth in the oil production would be the other option because we've got that stream of revenue and you could assume that it's no longer going down, or you could assume new sources of revenue. Is it the existing oil source or is it new sources of revenue assumed in this graph?
The reserve of the point of this graph assumes the existing revenue sources and now new revenue. So this is essentially you would have to find $1.3 billion of new revenue or spending costs to balance the budget. That's the revenue. What form that new revenue would come is that's a choice for the legislature governor.
And at this point in time, the governor's standard plan is unspecified because it's what it is. Probably would get that money, whether or not that's realistic or not. So it's more like I would consider that to be a placeholder in the plan rather than actually a plan.
Yeah, so moving on to slide 22, this is we've got the slope graph, which shows the amount of unrestricted general funds going to various purposes, not just agencies, but also state items, travel, and so forth. And this is just to kind of provide a picture of all of the governor's proposed appropriations this session, so multiple bills and regular appropriations, just across the two fiscal years, so across 2021 and 2022, just everything he's proposing right now, how it's stacked up. The item on the left is the PFD adding faster PFD plus the payment of the past dividend, and as a simple rule, one can keep other. But the second largest item is Department of Education, Department of Health and Social Services, and then also items combined and so forth down to Ocean Health Department, Commerce Committee, and Economic Development, which is about $7 million. So it's kind of an idea of the scale of the governor's budget over the course of the morning.
Any questions on this slide? I'll just note that the PFB section is almost three times what the state will ask it. That's the Ministry of the Department of Health and Social Services that, for example, provides health care to 265,000, roughly 265,000 in Alaska. And we get about two-thirds, one-third match from the federal government for that, yeah? Representative Brooks.
Is there any measurement of what is from the effect? If you pay out the permanent fund dividend, you would expect some reduction, I guess, in the Department of Health and Social Services. I don't know if that's true, but you would expect that. We just need for
government
assistance and that sort of thing.
Through the chair for the Brooks, so I'm open to the question to kind of an economist, perhaps the next speaker, Kristen Kressel. It is not a simple mechanical point. We have the PFD formula program that ensures that individuals who receive the PFD are not paid off public assistance for that month. And that doesn't really vary with the demand size, because I suppose you have a very, very small demand to reduce that kind of payment, but generally, many of the demand sizes we have, it doesn't really, the payment is still full of the benefits, essentially.
And the paragraph we are actually going to have a series of excerpts talk about the economic impacts of the PFD and the impacts of PFD reductions in this community. We're going to hear from the Institute for Social Economic Research. We're going to hear from the Office for Sustainable Budgets. We're going to hear from the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy. We want to get a lot of opportunity to dig in a lot more granular detail on that topic. Okay,
that's great for that discussion.
Okay.
Any further questions coming on the flood level here? This one is showing the impact of this overdraft of current fund in FY21 and 22 proposed by the governor, so $1.3 billion in FY21 and $2 billion in FY22. Showing the impact of that on the ERA balance, which is the purse. So the blue is the ERA balance, and we just followed the deal with Israel, but the red is the ERA balance if we do these two overdrafts. And then the lines are the impact on the PLD fraud. Then, the important thing to notice with these lines is that it takes a while for this impact to really be felt. The percent of your PLD fraud has a 5-year average and has a lag. So, we have 22 PLD fraud is based on the balance of the funds for the fiscal years, defined 16 through 20, I believe that's the right number of years. The 5 years and the FY20. And so, an overdraft of FY21 doesn't impact your FY22 PMV. It begins to have an impact in FY23. It's very small at that point because it's just 1 year of the 5 year revoked, where it's just a lot of overdrafts. But that grows over time as you fully incorporate into the average. And the cumulative difference in the PMV over the next 9 years is -$900 million. And that shows up as 160 to 170 million this year, which fully is incorporated to 4 million in FY28 and beyond. So, the overdrawing the PMV draw has an impact on the PMV draw, but there is this lag. So, trying to build a longer term, not necessarily just next year.
The question is, like, is that a starting number? Is that a starting?
Okay, so would we expect this divergence to be exponentially? You only see that reduction in revenue pretty slowly, but very quickly begins to drop off if the rate starts out always for the increasing impact.
After stability of lending, after the five-year average, you want to grow a little bit in 2020 and beyond. But basically, just growing by the rate of inflation, roughly, because the PMD draw, the difference of the quarter fund balance is essentially, it's going to be in real terms equivalent, because the new earnings you get on that amount will be offset by a lower PMD draw. So, one way we think of things are essentially, the inflation affects the term for every $1 billion you pull out beyond the PMD draw. Reduces the future PMD draws by 50 million because there's 5%, assuming 5% inflation adjusted return, and the current forecast we have about the updated forecast we made in the future, actually it's less than a real 5% projection term, so that would be as long as that, but that's how we will fund these.
Thank you very much. I have your answer. Thank you, Chair Spanholm. Staff Manager here. The fact is, from here, the chart will allow the system to collect their 6.75% returns. And I remember in the past, it was way back in 2008, the market did not do read about all these returns, and we are feeling pretty good about this scenario over the next 10 years.
We know that returns are not invariable. They always are. 6.75% is the currently adopted forecast from the Fed Corporation. That's expected to be 6.2%. But there's a large variation year to year. This year we're on pace for 13 to 15% returns. Last year we had 2% returns. So we're going to fall a little low. Can't count on that for sure. And I think the figure that we have is excellent. We can provide versions of the estimate past control scenarios that show that if we had a market margin or a crash, then the ERA balance would go down even more dramatically if that was coincided with these overdrafts.
And going back to slides 18 and 19, there were underestimate analysis. That's not what the same scenario, but basically gives you sort of a higher level understanding of that if we were moving forward to have the same experience we had in FY in 2000 or 2008 or in 2017, what would the result be at the full statutory PMD? Things like volatility cost an issue is a really important one because we've added some diversified our revenue amounts in the last one, no longer solely, really largely solely accounted for UTF oil. Oil used to be 95% of our revenue, so 25% is no longer the oil company. But the permanent fund is a very important sort of buffering additional source of revenue, but it too is volatile and it's a really critical question.
Describing the first of two overdrafts in the first of your standard on a graphs, for example, page 21, you show all the overdrafts. And does your PMD draw a page point that shows a decreased PMD draw due to the continual overdrafts? Where on page 23, you stop overdrawing the PMD if we're going to have a line that should continue overdrafts like a single page, 21, you have the third one in that grade. First one will be the 30th estimate. So, slide 21 shows the impact of continued overdrafts, which is the PMD draw, And at some point, you're going to isolate the codes to be proposed for cost of the current budget year is very important. So just these 2 years, and this study do you have to propose, even if we, as the governor has said in his plan, that this would be the only overdrawing as a constitutional amendment to prevent the in the future. But that would still have an impact, and that's what this is just about doing, is just those, like, one time.
It's not in the press.
good idea in Mexico. Some of your previous meetings got into that at point. The charity vision, which was interesting to me, that Southern government, the government, probably has more efficient and consider and explore data revenue markets. We don't have a lot of horsepower on the second. We have more efficient bits, that's important, but also a little bit subjective. The other two are probably have some specific useful information to use in US on the best. So taking the equipment of what I'm actually doing inside your home, you can create a long-term outlook. I think that context can be helpful. And what you see there is from World War II to the current period. And you learn a lot to talk about the different time periods. I'm not going to, other than to point to the 70s pipeline boom, very strong. That just kind of looked a little bit like an unemployment growth, population growth. The rest of us was coming, but it attracted people who were paying high wages. That, again, that would gave some of that back after the was completed. In the 80s, we boom again, we normalized. That crash, after that, when oil prices fell, and it hasn't been here, George Bartle took up the bill for the first time this community. Something at that time we're going to work. And that was a long period of fairly moderate growth. We grew through a couple of years of recessions. I mean, that's more than time, but you back up this slightly. So, when we talk about population growth, we basically include the military. It's a point in time estimate, and it's slower, but it's some how somebody's here in the other one somewhere else in that context, if you ask it. It's not PhD resident information. No other home somewhere else. So some of our super processing people may be residents if they don't maintain a home somewhere else. Our oil and gas workers who are non resident workers are property owners that have a home somewhere else. But this is comprehensively everyone who considers the last day of home. And then we see a little bit of this in more detail in a moment. And I think we've had the line is bending towards the end. About 741,000 were down in 2016, and we're down to about 709,000. So, even before that growth was any left there. So, this looks like some of what's driving that rapid population growth. For the first time in life history, we have had rigid net migration. We definitionally had moved here. The number of people who moved to Alaska minus the number of people who moved out of Alaska. So if more than you can arrive, it's a negative. And several times in our history, including the 80s, 90s, when we had a naval air facility closed, we've had four consecutive years, but never really four. So, This is new for Alaska, and I hope it gets people's attention. Combined, that's about 53,000 people who've lost, but it's not the same thing as the overall population loss, because in addition to annual migration, we have births and deaths. And for a long, long time, to the near modern future, we expect that more births and deaths. So, in addition to what's happening this year, the actual increase also. This is not like a deposit closing. It's a relative of the metric. It's complicated. We have a lot of pieces. So I don't want to say it's not the problem. It's a life driving. But there's an answer. And we brought in there are two things. Oil falls. And what this money is going to do today is travel. It's the value cost we're paying. The uncertainty of this shift to the federal government's domain. So the determination for how much government can be afforded for paying for it more directly than the traditional funding sources, our budget energy, our budgets, and other things. So boil down both two things.
Our market is not the same as Florida or Arizona.
measured is the daily ITH group. And you see it consistently export more and more going to college age students and starting the workforce teams that we bring here. There's a lot of states that would not have that there, Massachusetts, the North Carolina, probably, California, probably. And they would bring more students in, so giving students the data, not the data to send out to the world. The red line denotes the pattern stays roughly the same. Everything shifts negative though, with the exception of our third grade line issue. Even during that period, we specifically lost people to the migration in and out, a couple of hundred over those 8 years, per year of 25 to 29 year olds that we add to our population.
I think we can check it. Can you expand a little on the demographics of the 25 to 29 year old age group? You mentioned the military is one of the things that you're exposed to. Has that been consistent? Has it changed at all? Do you have any data on that? Or are there any different categories that bring people up here? Can you just talk about that?
Yeah, I think when you're talking to the chair, the military is part of that. Historically, part of that was in terms of opportunity, specifically some people who are education, they have more IT growth. And sometimes in some cases, higher wage, not particularly high education or training required jobs. So you're in Mississippi or Idaho or whatever, and you have to go get a lot of money on the side of the course of this money and place your market, these kind of things that you have. So military is part of the employment and thinking about lifestyle that it is slightly more male-convenient, and so that's lifestyle as well. Beyond that, I'm trying to think if there's anything I'm forgetting. I don't think that that's my first piece of economy, so it's that great opportunity for people to get to some of our probably adventurous things for the summer. The military life is an thing that it's been more up and down recently.
A lot of people come to Alaska living in an adult for an adventure or a big old prison, but not living for the 20 or 30 members of the legislature. I represent a child, you represent a state, you were born here, you came here for an adventure and then ended up staying here politically, or, while you're still young, you didn't have roots, you didn't have a mortgage, all of those things. That's not time when I'm saying that.
Yeah, I think you're probably positioned to answer this question, but if you're as much there, I'd be very curious to learn more about this. You know, for the time of last night, and accumulate wealth, and then moving on, and spending their wealth out, and getting information, I mean, we can get better in the way for the economy and talk a little bit about that, but I'm curious to know how that spending trends for a lifetime in Alaska, I'd be very curious to know that. Thank you.
To then be able to provide data on how long people stay here. Didn't have all this PFD information. You certainly see that the spend of people coming in if you're very young and then people tend to leave a lot when they're older, which has been a real problem for Alaskans for a very long time. But you didn't stay here, they would go retire somewhere else. And I'm personally very pleased that my parents have chosen to retire to Alaska.
Thank you for the chart. The red graph and red line is a 8-year period. It will allow us a 20-year period. But prior to 1990, the 1970, 1990, before that, was very parallel to one except dropped. With the 70-81, that we above the borderline. Also parallel, similar pattern, but slightly above on the impact. Almost for certain, and the 25 to 29 would likely be very spiky. You think of that construction, and you think of the 80s high wages, we had an astonishing percentage of our population in the 80s over 20 year olds specifically. So we probably, and interestingly, even though a lot of the jobs didn't require a lot of education and training, that was kind of our peak in terms of the percentage of our population with bachelor's degree or above. High ratio has been educated people from Samson went back to consistently watch Christ to understand that the high wage of people can watch his engineering and that concerns with primary construction. And what we're doing right now is that a lot of these people are leaving this area, they'll be moving through some of those things and other living, but the baby boomers now, we have a disproportionate percentage of baby boomers in Alaska. Because we brought so many 20-year-olds as representatives. So if these two lines are higher or lower based on oil economies, like you said earlier, it's close to migration class. If the oil economy continues to flatten or less than flat, the third line going in the future might be slightly lower, and we may even be a little more positive. 25 to 29, and I guess it's to be determined. But is direct correlation with climate, obviously, and oil is a main driver. But it's not representable. Correct, although we underestimate the large carbon volume. It will be able to avoid any of the real coal. The last few hours on that is particularly compared to. Small eastern state because we have army dollars. And we can hear it on both sides. So when people burn here, they find it. We're not looking for it. They also spend it all winter. But so it's not all about oil. Military will remain consistent. I suspect it will be a long time. If ever any change would be spread of that being our kind of market segment. And if I could just talk a little bit before the early studies that are thinking. We do have the capacity to match the data we get from the big data to a way to have control, for example, how many 25 people are doing for the 29 who are not coming up with Department of Education data, how many of them are law school graduates, how many moved here afterwards. We didn't want to get any 65 years, we want to get 25 to 29 specifically who are in the city here as opposed to who came here. Was the premium made slightly more than it was in this year. But so we do have the capacity to get that work, and our systems are fairly nimble that do that kind of match. So I can have one that everything was created and closed.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple of comments to make that kind of go along the line of what you were saying. When we think about the fact that Alaska, the governor's teacher retention and retirement program, and wanting to do exit interviews and talking to teachers that have been here, and teachers who have left, and the teachers who are here really not paying for our employee planning, and some of the strategies you're talking about with this marketing, certainly planning is important, having a good retention system, but they're even thinking about when they were originally coming and paying for outdoors in November, and they stayed here. And then I also think about the lack of performance scholarship and uncertainties that many students will be having that fund for those sweep. And I noticed that they were not receiving lots of performance scholarship and other trustees that don't have the relatives and those in debt from the last post-secondary commission report and lots of students taking their pass.
Study well look at teacher salaries and last of the time at the highest scores is 59 maybe, the highest starting salaries, but not nearly the highest average salaries because we don't retain them very well, as you know. The performance scholarship specifically was interesting to me if we care about which people are on a brain drain which are running on the ground money because I don't want the idea of the people staying, you know, not having brains to that if we want to keep the high academic achievers, maybe it's people who are in the same study. So I remember that came out, but to the extent they're looking for ways to move that 15 to 19 up, that made a lot of sense. Again, and I want to mention too, we're policy neutral, but we have to wrestle with some of these questions as we do our forecasting specifically. So there are sanctioned policies that don't express any preference, but once the bill is in place, we will have to draw our borders and find out by what the bill is going to do. And it's going to be job on the population.
You use the term brain drain, and I heard your comment that for me, I think that one of the reasons that the legislature that we did through the cost of performance challenges, we wanted to actually keep more of our money in the state of Alaska, and this information is a lot of data. The last data point that I remember of our young people who were applying for college, only had only 20% of them come back to the state of Alaska. And when I think about the people that come to Alaska, many of them, like yourself, choose to stay here, but many of them for a variety of reasons go somewhere else. They come here for a while, they work for a few years, maybe they get vested in our defined contribution plan, and then they have young children, and they move back to their home community or their retirement plan, and they have the support of supportive parents, whereas, people like me that went outside before college and came back, you didn't drag me away from Alaska, right? I'm committed because my family is here, these are my roots, why do you take care of my parents? And so I think there is, a really important from a policy standpoint, and can't comment on this, but from a policy standpoint, for us, I think it's really important that performance scholarship is designed to keep people here. And then, we've spent time in the university spent for multiple years, and then the university has heard from the students talking about maybe some people lost their scholarships, or didn't have certainty about their scholarships, and they went somewhere else, and that's a real strategic problem from a policy standpoint.
Just to add to that, and back to what Sam's story said, we have not often prepared all the looking at tensions with teachers, for example. And looking at the logistics of having a teacher who really can replace, and that's what we call short. As far as we're saying, you know, we talk about residents, starting residents, and some of these family positions, think how much easier it is if you're a sleep worker, if you're specific to retention, both living in a state and working in a state, clearly make a difference in the data. So moving to employment, this you'll see roughly the same pattern here. And just I want to explain a little bit the average wage in salary. So this is all of us, almost all of us, is very careful in employment. This does not include the military. That's an important exclusion to remember because the military is very important imperative, especially in the discipline. But also the Coast Guard, the Mississippi, and the Coast Guard. We should not be complicit. The military, when we talk about economic drivers, but this data it's produced monthly. It's the capacity to evaluate based on a higher quality of data that comes after that. It's very precise. It captures most of the almost all of the people who get their job. You see, that was that piece when I talked to somebody from Church Metal's office in England, who's talking a lot about bullying. Just to explain that and tie it down in 2020 guidance COVID, before then, I made contact with spent a lot of time talking about the other things that's in the same questions. I guess some people that have been through good employees or are through top operators, self-employed people, people that you might want to know, various labor, I don't want to say back on the table, but various immigrant after type, is that not part of this graph? I will be clear, that is correct. In broadly, if you're not covered by unemployment insurance, you can't pay the numbers out of the cost. And some of those are still being figured out, but for now, they're not at all. All those people. And personal, a letter group, as they're considered self employed, they're not covered by unemployment insurance, they're not in this data.
Number on the left of that means that we just
actually a private page here. Thank you for asking me that. I continue to have something to do. I'm waiting for you to put it back in that stick. That's to identify the type of job. Because some of the points are, as I said, we have a very high qualified. That's thousands of workers. So that is 52,000 annual average jobs. So, and we think they're going to be on the workers and different kind of people that if a job exists for all 12 months, and we show them this given as one annual average job.
Okay. So it's number of jobs and the amount.
Correct.
Right. Correct.
Okay, moving to this is your name. This is a minimum. For a while, we were almost all over almost all the time, and that was important, and we were happy to do it. And I hope we provide as many job losses, the types of job losses anticipate right now. We're asking a little bit with what in one year of hardship and tourism would lead to which jobs in particular, but the community is something that we pay you more those kinds of things. But we also become one when we start to see the pandemic getting under control. It's important to not think that going back to normal means going back to everything being calm. Now, there are plenty of negative points to suggest the last was underperforming compared to what a state government is doing. So, there are a couple of different reasons that I can touch on in response to Representative Stewart's question. This is not even just to explain a little bit more. Not my reason for 1,000 people, it's not something we've already talked about a little bit, but it brings in other states. And you can see that real estate has less and more as a share of its population per year than the last one that is doing. It's not very close. So that means that for every 1,000 people we have, we've lost 60 every year. And that's a pretty small particularly big by the but something happens here that is different. Let's be a little bit that's in the middle of the next biggest cause of farmers' growth. And not entirely coincidental, Illinois has some of the same very, very, very unique to Illinois, but state budget, pension issues, low bond rating, some other kinds of things. There's money for everything that the states down there can provide with the spectrum of Illinois. Resource-based state land specifically, it was part of the other reason we've been struggling with this measure.
Somebody has established residency 1 year at least before they get counted in the population. So the seasonal person who's up here seasonally does not somehow aggregate into the population count.
But looks at approximately the first part and go to the second. To be counted as a resident, it's a point in time estimate. But if you do go to the bathroom, for example, to work in a traditional company in Stanford, you still live in Washington or California or wherever else. You're not counted as a Alaska resident. But you also don't have to be here for a full year. You don't confuse this with underfunded eligibility. You don't have to have established agency in the sense that you're here for a full calendar year. You do have to be semi-permanent here. So it's critical to military and only of the civilian workers if and this happens. And maybe some of you in the room, you come here for a summer. I came here for a year, more than 30 years later. But you come here for a summer and you like to use it. So, if you come here and get up here, in a house in your apartment, it doesn't usually like to go to the bike bar and you're in the register of your apartment, you're in the county of the state.
Okay.
Moving forward, this probably wanted to get you a break from. Programs and lines. There are different ways you can So in the article that I mentioned, it was shown differently. But you can see here that we are 48 So we did it much differently than slightly more comparison to 2014 or 2019, the 5 years pre-COVID, to see how Alaska performed in the other season. You can see the overall event growth, we were 48. Private sector, 48. State government jobs, last. State university jobs were last. You can see in green the states that were at the very high end, and in red the states were at the very low end. In the trend article, we put this on a grid, and you can see that sometimes concerns with people point government jobs and if private sector jobs are if we move in that direction, Colorado, Utah, as they also had state government growth over that period. And it's not just that super, it's only tight correlation. And then the other thing, we've heard a lot over recent years that the normal government hasn't formed nearly a difficult time in the property grants. Perhaps, you can talk to dropouts. I've been looking at that. You'll find your own and most of the people that take off from state government positions. These are not positions, these are failed jobs. And again, you have to ask the outcome once to get counted. You know, the point is to make about that. Sometimes you would have only been a while that was at the time of 37 jobs cut from state government because they were 37 layoffs. You know, there have been thousands of jobs that disappeared through attrition. Big difference. We hope this is helpful.
I think that's really important, Doug, is that one of the things that both the current and the previous administration were doing in order to sort of manage the harshness of our budget cuts was to allow for as much as we cut through retirement and maybe sometimes start replacing those rather than somebody off specifically. So there was an intentional strategy to try to reduce the harm of our budget cuts by managing the cuts at FTEs and that mechanism for how to bring people off. And sometimes that does confuse people a little bit. And I'm hearing that looking at this, that North Dakota is sort of a bit positioned even a little bit worse than us. In terms of
job losses, what's different about North Dakota compared to Alaska? The first battle is really picked up, but I wanted to read really kind of why was the other one that was worse than us. All the time, we had steeper job losses during the oil troubles. Not only the deal with coal downturns, but industry did both bounce back faster. This is an anecdotal that I already did at my own level of 5 year period. In 2019 specifically, it would have been really disastrous. And part of that, I'll touch on a little bit more in a minute, is they did not, what happened to oil did not create the same secondary impact on the purpose of this committee today in the United States. That's the other reason. And the sales tax, the income tax, no one has a sales tax. We had revenue generation that was, it would bounce back. They hadn't had the same dependence on oil that we did.
So, diversification of their state revenue would be a little bit more resilient.
Just both, absolutely. And this was, you talked a little bit about the issues to state government jobs fell. That's a typical response from state and local governments to do things like furlough, new furloughs in the Great Recession, but burning, hiring freezes, you dial things back and you save money. But the whole point is to bridge you through to when income and sales taxes come back to more normal. But another answer you mentioned is going to develop either demographic or the asset disconnect. Population growth doesn't necessarily, in normal terms, historically generate new revenue. So, that kind of problem.
Representative Jones,
of Mr. John Flynn.
State government and state university are higher than that next level. that we were, we had the most negative job growth in those two areas during this time period of each year.
Correct. Your models, and you're correct that you were last among the states. There are two states, the state of Arizona, don't break out the data disputes, so 38 and 48. 47 is the state of 39 states. Oregon had some strange behavior that they moved a bunch of local community colleges and worked out, which is not valid data. But in most of both cases, that's next to the last in red for those one or two. Thank you for that.
I'm extremely concerned for me because I have a university in particular who's acting like they're down to the end. We have a private sector case, actually, we have a state government. So, what a problem.
So, moving back to that, and again, coming back to what Senator Story mentioned, what was one of the drivers? What is clearly the year? You can see this is from January 2014 through October 2020. But it was a data point. But you see there are patterns with what happens here is very similar in the following country. And again, to the scale, on the left, we have U.S. and that's so U.S. was 600,000, and that's down 45,000. And on the right, the monthly imbalance. So last year, as of the most recent number, we were down to 6,300. We were down to 15,000 in 2014, 2015. We were down to about 9. We're inching back up to about 10. There's a lot of 10 for a while, and then COVID. So here they have it yet from February, showing the rebound.
Okay. I knew that you see that the pattern in all the jobs in Alaska roughly matches in U.S. in the sense true, but it looks like our job losses were actually worse in the April through October timeframe. Can you describe why?
I think you'd be right that the percentage decline for the U.S. would be that the slope of that line could raise a little more. I don't know what I'm still always comes to mind. And that's this slower moving, what sometimes can be good for us, projects have a longer time horizon. So sometimes it is, you can get the opposite of the job, but it's not showing some of that. I wouldn't know who wanted to because COVID was not the most effective force. And it may be COVID even, but getting slow workers, there's some excellent challenges in terms of transportation. So our project could have been put on hold to a higher degree than all the small Texas North Dakota projects. These are dealing with social distancing and transportation of workers.
In other states, the distribution of oil is broader than ours is largely under the slope. It's one decision made by one company and more slope to stop production for a period of time that has a significant impact on that. I don't
know.
It's a 30% difference, and it's like you're described there. So,
much smaller number of players, certainly the extraction side. One of your specifically talked about the kinds of questions is how do you control state government growth? So we've done that. That's how you're getting, as we've talked about a little bit, but not exactly, right? So, and I don't mean to get clear about that. Is a realistic challenge for those across these people and running the app too much? We've done this type of article a handful of times. 1.3K, this is state and local. We've done state specifically, we have data on state specifically, but as you likely know, state government also has a lot of things that local governments do in other states. County courts is an obvious example, but in school districts, the other states not only go to divide themselves into counties and parishes and boroughs, and Alaska is still doing some of that, so state government plays a larger role. So, with that kind of definitional point, this attempts to compare government jobs per hundred and to task compared to demographic number of people. You can see we rank third highest in terms of government jobs per 100 people. Providing you want to go to more small states. That's interesting because small population, obviously massive land area. that there would be some lack of economies of scale. If you got to the bottom, which is the smallest number of government jobs per hundred people, you do see some economies of scale for that very large. But more often, it's interesting because the government is used to deliver for that team, certainly at one year old. So I'll only stop there.
Thank you.
covered and not part of others. And I imagine things are probably going up here. Lower tier numbers, maybe are combined with the higher up. Do you have that effect? The teachers on the stat you mentioned earlier.
Remember, it works out a little bit here. These are the magnitude of benefit costs. Let's look at a little bit the benefit packages, how they compare superstate. I've got $100 in relation to my wages also. Looking at the benefit package. But we don't have a good handle on how benefits would compare. We want a little advice are specific to the problem of the question of whether the shift to defined contributions, back to the pension, that can really, not burn us when we work with folks. So you may remember that better. It's a good question, right? There are really clear answers to that question. There are clear indicators of retention or anything changing dramatically. I've had a couple of problems with the anecdotal part because we have a place of public safety, especially public safety, but we need more education.
From this era of oil paying for almost all of our state government costs. next one, and this is on the left side, on the circle, and the point back together, I hope you can remember what the last one I said. And there's a, the thing I remember is, there's a lot of conversation about the economy, additional cuts, offer dividend, and that's good and right to talk about those things. But I'm not sure that there are enough awareness of the economic costs of not solving these problems. That's back when the 80s established the issue of clarity. That's what comes from here. We've been nominated 10 times by the 80s. It's only 3 cities have worse economy.
Thank you.
set the stage very well for some of the decisions that we have to start considering moving forward in the budget. And I think everybody, our next committee at the House Land Group means that committee will be Saturday, April 10 to 11, 3 a.m. here in Davis Room 106. We're going to meet only until 9 p.m. and there's another meeting happening after that in this room. And we're going to turn around the impact of the various revenue measures that are on Davis, executive taxation, economic policy. We've done a couple of different analyses for the state of Alaska, one in 2017 and another one that was released in 2020. And that keeps from the license for sustainable budgets. But seeing nothing else in front of the committee, we will adjourn at 12:59 p.m.